The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 21 and 22, 2021, at Waits Lake Open Bible Camp near Valley, Washington.
Well, I just want to welcome you all here. Thanks for coming. I just want to tell you my appreciation for what's been said so far here at church, or school here. And I like the thoughts given last night on the bulwarks for the school, and Brother Harry gave quite a few different items that make up the bulwark, and I just kind of give my own little testimony. It's kind of aside from my topic here, but growing up in an Anabaptist group, but they had some bulwarks that were missing, and I really appreciate the upbringing I did have. But one of the bulwarks that was missing was public. They allowed us to attend public school, and that was a real downfall for me. I got all of the, when we went to high school especially, it was a big high school, and we got all the peer pressure from, you were trained a certain way, but then you go into public school and you're there for 6 hours in amongst public school children, and it's that influence that, especially if you're not a Christian, it's overwhelming. And that was one of the, when we became, me and my wife were dedicated and become Christians, that was the thing that we did not want to send our children to public school. And through that, we attended a homeschool convention in Portland. And the thing that it was mentioned there, the thing that caught my attention was the first grade reader that talked about God instead of dog. That was actually the thing that set me on to the Mennonites right there, that one thing. But I appreciate the bulwarks that we do have in our church. Anyhow, these are forms that I put together. And we don't have to go through them right this minute. I want to, for your own use. I want to first greet you all in the name of Jesus and who is the great teacher and communicator. The title is Intentional School Documentation, and I had to scratch my head quite a bit on that one. I never was a teacher, and other than Sunday school. I do enjoy that, but I don't see myself as an academic teacher. But I do enjoy Sunday school teaching. The one thing that I work construction, but the one thing that doesn't come very easy with me is paperwork. So I'm not really fond of that. So I feel like, why am I up here doing this? But at any rate, it is, paperwork is very important, and I wanted to go through, and it was a biblical record of intentional documentation that was, I believe it was inspired by God. And I don't know if you have your Bibles. If you don't, I'll just read here in Esther, 2 Esther, verse 21. 23. I'll just choose a few verses here, just not to make it beleaguer it. Okay, in those days, let's speak about Mordecai. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlain, Bigthan and Teresh, of those who kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Here we have a record of intentional documentation in the Bible. Then we'll jump ahead to Esther 6:1. One through 15. Six. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then the king's servant that ministered unto him, "There is nothing," or they said unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. So here's some deeds that were going to come about. And then going on to chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, kind of the conclusion of what we've seen as historical documentation. Verse 9, "And Harbanah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, 'Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman.' Then the king said, 'Hang him thereon.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified." We just see the whole thing began with some documentation. And it was through God's arranging of the details that he used that documentation to bring about a very important step in the saving of his people. So that's just a biblical account that should inspire us to, even though seemingly a lot of the documentation that goes into school board and school office documentation seems very mundane and do we really need to do this? There could very well be, maybe not right today or in the near future, but maybe down the road, a couple of years, there could be something come up in relation to this documentation that will be very valuable in making some decisions. Going back to Brother Anthony's thought of asserting and trying to find truth, it's because of someone took the time to document some very mundane facts. And one other reason for documentation that I felt is good is it provides a baseline. It provides us the evidence to go back and to review and search the records and build a baseline based on what has been recorded. So that's just some reasons for doing documentation. So maybe we can go through these forms just a little bit. I want to be open to any comments or questions as much as we can, that I can answer. I'll just begin to go through some of these forms, and if you have any questions, just feel free to stop and we can discuss it. And if there's a good chance I may not have the answer, especially when it comes to the cat forms and that kind of stuff, but maybe Brother Mark might or others here. The first was just kind of an index. First two are index for school forms from CLE, and they have catalogs that can these forms can be ordered from. I'm impressed with the amount of forms that they do have, CLE. One thing, and there's this, these forms aren't necessarily in order, but one of the first things when you do have a child coming into your school, you're going to want to have the medical history. I think that's very important to establish that baseline of what has been in the past with that child. And this first one is a parent's report of medical history. That's a good form that needs to be filled out. Just gives all the past conditions, medically speaking, any conditions that might be with that particular person. And then they also have one here for the physician's report of health. Oftentimes, it would be just the simple things of any immunizations. And today, that's kind of a touchy thing whether you even do that or not. But we'll just mention that. There's other diseases that are listed. I think an important one, but even when you're that young in school, a lot of students haven't really had their eyes examined, and that can be an issue with a lot of students. Whether it may not seem like that's an issue, but it can be causing the issue. So, as teachers, we need to be always thinking, well, are they really seeing right? I know we had one student right now in Rochester. He's struggling, and so we had him tested, or his parents did, and he had good vision, but one issue he has, he tends to look at some words, reading it, and he sees it right. But then it becomes, the more he looks at something when he's reading, it becomes blurred. I'm not sure exactly the term they use for that, but it's something that they're going to be working on. So it can be kind of in-depth, some of these situations, but it's good, you know, to be aware of it. And if there is something, have it reported down. The next one is just the Rochester. That's our own form. It kind of just goes back over this. And all of these forms, I think I just included them, and it probably would be good. You can tailor fit it for your own benefits. You combine it and tailor fit it what you think works for your school. Another important one is does your child have allergies? I think that's good to list that. The doctor that you would use, things like that. And this next form is an account that Jonathan Erb had told me about, so I had him list it down, and I'll just read it here. It's very applicable for making sure that we have a parental consent to first aid treat your child. Okay, after dismissal, while students were milling around waiting for their rides, a sixth grade girl decided she wanted to stand on a 2-foot piece of EMT pipe. So one of the boys held it for her while she attempted to stand on top of it and look in the window. I had never seen the pipe before, and I don't know where it came from. As expected, it didn't work out, but the extent of the damage I would have never thought possible. It gouged out the calf of her leg in a most alarming way. It was readily obvious that she would need far more care than what we could give. I knew that both her parents had both had jobs, so I scooped her up and headed to the ER room less than 5 miles away. But on the way out to the van, I asked one of the other teachers, please get Christina a student file. We teachers all had helped get them filed away from the beginning of the school year, and I had no doubt that I would get what I was asking for. On the way to the ER, we opened the file and got the medical form, which the parents had the parent's signature, giving the teachers the right, the school the right responsibility to seek medical attention in the absence of the parent. We also called the parents, but neither one would be able to get to the hospital for about an hour. I carried the student into the ER and showed the doc to the personnel there. No questions were asked. We went immediately to a treatment room where care was given. The mom arrived after a while, and I went back to school. In the context of today's culture regarding abuse of children, some certainly merited and others not, to have that documentation along with us was a rather valuable part of the situation. Of course, for this situation to have worked as well as it did, the following thing will need to be in place. The forms will need to be filled out neatly. Teachers will need to be aware of the forms. Previous year forms and other items will need to be taken care of properly, and I might add, updated. No time was lost at all for pulling this form, and the personnel at the hospital accepted without a question. So that's firsthand account of why it was important to have that documentation signed. Is there any comments or questions? What we've gone over so far.
So do you, at Rochester, do you have this Rochester school information form? Is that something that parents fill out before sending their child for each student?
Yes, it's a form we would give to the parents, and they would fill out and turn in. Yeah. And then we put it into, we've got a file cabinet in the school office, and it's kept there, and teachers are made aware of that. And yeah.
The way we do it is, it takes a fair amount of updating, but I talked to a lawyer that I know there, and he said that the teacher of the student has to be listed, or should be listed as the like a secondary, not thinking of the right word, but if the parents aren't there, this person is listed. They can show their driver's license, the address matches, the name matches, and they can identify themselves as a person on the form as an alternate guardian, maybe, or something like that.
Or given the power of attorney or something like that.
So, yeah. And so I wrote up a form with some stuff that detailed a bunch of things that they're allowed to give and make a decision on in absence of the parents. But then that has to be updated every time the teacher changes.
Right. Yeah.
And what we have on our thing is the parents sign off every year that they review the form. There's no change to be made. And so at our school launch meeting, all the parents are there. That's one of the things they all do, is go through the medical form and sign them. Or if they're updated, they do.
No, I like that a lot. I think it's too easy to do it at one time, get it in the file, and forget about it. Where you're doing it, it's updated and renewed and made applicable. I think that's very good. I wouldn't mind getting that form just for record.
Yeah, talk to me later.
Okay, appreciate that. Any other questions in regards to the forms, the medical forms? Then going on, we have an application for admission to the schools. It just gives a breakdown of applicants' history, the family, all that. And then it goes on. The next form is goes on to the subjects that they've, especially when you had someone that's 8 or 9 years old that's been in school for a while, and you really need to determine where they're at to where you need to place them. Just because they say they're in the fourth grade doesn't really mean they are, you know, by the standards of the school that you're teaching at. And so that really needs to be determined. And that can be a hard thing, too, for parents to accept that all of a sudden their student isn't where they think it should be at, but has to be dealt with in a way that's tactful, and to be said in a way that it's going to be helping them, not putting them down. This is also a form for request for student records. I believe it's a parent that's requesting this from the school they've been at. So that would be, in other words, a new school. Maybe you can tell me, the records really, are they the property of the parents in the long run? I mean, I'm not sure how that really works out. Because it seems like here the parents are requesting them. They have that power to request them. It may be kind of a gray area. I'm not sure.
The school knows the ones that are requesting
them.
They have a right to them, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it seems like it's the responsibility of the school to keep records secure and keep a record of the students that they've taught and their grades and so on, because it's happened with students that didn't graduate with a diploma or something, and then they want to go for a GED or something like that, what are your school records, even though you're out of school?
Yeah.
And so all that the students take home is a report card, which is maybe accepted, maybe not. Maybe they're looking for some kind of more official record for the school. So, I don't know who owns the records. Maybe it is the parents, but the school ought to keep them.
Yeah.
I had a unique situation sometimes where it was an unfortunate situation, but a family from the community had joined our church, and chose to leave again, and I was contacted by a public school the children were going into asking for their school records, so it was a blessing that I had something
here. Right. It showed you as being diligent, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. That can be a reflection on the school. If you, I don't know where anything's at, you know.
What kind of record?
So in that case, do you have...
Would it be like grades?
Yeah, that's mainly what they would grade
after.
Do you have a copy of Seeley's permanent record form in here?
I'm not sure. Is that a health record?
I'm sorry.
What is that?
It's a comprehensive record of a student's academic progress through.
Oh, it's academic.
I thought maybe we were going to come across it.
We might come across it.
At any rate, John, the CLE has these deals with the collecting cardstock. It's more permanent type of paper, front and back. It's printing front and back, and it has a whole bunch of information. Their attendance for the year, their average grade for the year. You just fill it out every year as you go along and track them during 1 through 12. So that's what I can't comment on that.
Okay.
I think Judy was waving something at me here. Is it a permanent record? Is that what?
Okay.
Is that what you is calling the permanent record, or?
That looks right. There is another page that I think it's the back of that where they actually write the grades.
Oh, okay. Maybe they didn't.
Maybe you have it as a secondary paper.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get down to that.
Okay. The next record here I think it's just a typical of an enrollment application for their students. The Hope Christian School enrollment. And it's it actually is signed by the administrator. Okay, this is actually a record form, just that they're authorizing the release of those forms that are requested. I I'm trying to think. Well, why would you go to the extent of having both the request and then also the form from the administration saying that they were requested? I guess maybe there's some thoughts on that. Why you would have both of them? Right.
And so they have a process. I have a process of the parents actually have to sign a request to release right. that information. In
yeah.
my school, it's a phone call.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit more close and not so formal.
Right.
Right. That's the advantage of having a smaller school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got to be more careful, maybe. And let's see, that next form was also from the Hope Christian School. It was a transcript of their credits that they had sent over. Just gives them their credits and stuff and their grades that they had different years. And then also the next one's an activity record, and I think these are now charts that let's say the principal or the teachers could be filling out this is a daily time record activity. I know in our school, it seemed like sitting down at the faculty meetings prior to the beginning of the school, it's good to work out all the class times we sit down with all the teachers together and work them all out. Like, so you're getting recesses combined uniformly and to where it works, and this can all be part of it. You could document down when your all those times would work out, and then you can work in comparison with others on that. There's the attendance charts. That's just mainly a record of their time in school in each student. I think that's a good record. Attendance is a good indication of problems, you might say, in the home. If there can be sicknesses be causing it. We've got situations where, you know, there's a child could be on leave because of they're going to visit because the parents are estranged. They go to visit them, so they're missing from school. So you have those kind of things. And it seems like with this particular girl, whenever she's gone from school, for that reason, she comes back with issues. It's just very unsettling and troubling for her, and rightly so. You know, you can understand why. But having an attendance record is crucial to keeping your eye on what's going on with the student. Here's one for the record of demerits and detentions. Some of this is just pretty simple, just what's going on. It has all the cheating, dishonesty, communication, disrespectful, tardy, all these things that we're faced with at school. I won't say too much on that.
Could I just interject there?
Sure.
Do any of your schools have a disciplinary actions they take like this.
What was the question? Like actions that they would take?
It is a procedure in place that if they bring a disciplinary action against the student, that it is documented the date, what happened, and why. Or is that reserved for more extensive ongoing discipline?
I think that's a good question, because I'm not sure even if we do. Wendell, how was it when you was there? I don't think that we do have any kind of a record.
I think though that some schools would have, if depending on the discipline that's used, that there is definitely communication with somebody else, it has to happen, and then that's probably a
right. How is it at your school? Did it,
we don't have any kind of a record, but I was thinking, I've never heard of a school that got in trouble over doing something like spanking a student or something, and usually that's done with coordination of parents.
Right.
You're not just all of a sudden Johnny Confuse said he goes licking out of the school. But if you have if it's documented what the offense was, what the action was taken, then it's hard to argue with documentation.
Right.
I have taught in a school where there was a policy that there had to be another fellow teacher as a witness. There were some students from community homes, and it was a precaution. You know, it's to have a witness
support.
Right.
I guess that could be another topic for another time. How much coordination you have with your parents before administering punishment of that kind. But this chart, if I'm understanding correctly, is this just to detail infractions and behavioral problems but not moving?
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. But following in on your thought there, I know at Rochester they have the practice of when there's a moral disobedience, then it deserves a spanking. But to do the spanking, the teacher notifies the principal, and then the teacher would also call a parent ahead of time. And so there's proper, at least proper notification, but I don't think anything is documented. It's just mainly a phone call.
That did remind me, I think that is how it was. A call for a parent.
Yeah. Probably some of this is maybe kind of a crossover to larger schools, and I can see where it's in, especially relating to public schools, you know, that you would want your T's crossed and your I's dotted, you know, just because of what all the abuse that goes on.
Most of our report cards, at least the ones we use, have suggesting that this would be on top of that. Like, they bring the report card home and there's a whole list of stuff.
Right.
I wonder if this isn't actually almost as much for teachers, right? Where I said that when you actually, I know when I taught school, when you come to the end of the marking period and you're looking now, which one shall I mark? Which one shall I mark? What shall I mark? Well, I think probably the idea is if you want to correct this, you could go to this paper and say, okay, I did have this and this, I didn't remember, I'll mark this.
Instead of just going off your memory.
Yeah. Instead of going off my memory.
Yeah,
so
not.
Maybe 8 for the teacher.
5 minutes, okay. Well, I guess we've only got 5 minutes left. Sorry about not getting through this. Going through these forms, is there anything that catches your eye? And I know in the very back, I just threw in a bunch of forms that came from Rochester, just for give you an idea. We had a school calendar we use to give to the parents, and the school board uses that. saying that we've every once in a while we'll make one out and then discover halfway through the year that it was wrong, that the date was wrong or didn't work. So we send out notes when we're going on field trips to the parents to make sure that they're on board with everything. We use the hot lunch schedule. Let's see, just a bunch of the other form is a school board visitation schedule. We have it for our school board. I don't know if you use that at your school board or not, but I'm on the faculty every month, so I have one school board brother that goes with me to the faculty, and then they're supposed to visit school that month also. So I also included, and again, it's just for your use, it's a religious exemption form. Not knowing what the future lies, I just thought it'd be well worth to have something there. You might, and it's just for your tailor fit. It's just an idea. The scriptures in it aren't new, or a King James version, so you might want to change some of that stuff. But it's just to give you an idea if you want to use it. So I appreciate all your input and comments, and helps us to realize that, you know, the simple things of just being faithful in documentation can help us later on, or help someone later on in life with our students in our school.
And it's tough for my little school, probably for all of us, but it's tough to someone that has to be responsible for the documentation that's consistently responsible. Board members come and go, and either that has to be passed along really well, which I'm not aware of any school that effectively does that kind of thing, passing along the little things from year to year that they can effectively pass it on to a brand new board member who's there for 3 years and then off the board. But that's tough.
Yeah.
And so it takes someone to just, like the permanent records of our school, you know, if you have some teacher turnover, maybe they've never seen that form. They don't know for sure how to fill it out. Every year you've got to ask to make sure that they get it filled out correctly, because the record's only as good as the accuracy of the information.
That'd be a good thing maybe to, at the faculty meeting at the start of the year, go over that or something. Mm-hmm. That'd be, yeah.
Yeah, what grades to be keeping, what averages to be recording.
Right.
So have the information fill it out with
teachers. Exactly, yeah. I think we use them, yeah.
Yeah. I find that to be just an excellent way, because it goes home with the parents and it says that they were absent or tardy or whatever.
Right.
And then the parents have to write an excuse.
Yeah.
And I just think that puts pressure all over the places.
Yeah.
And then the card comes back again.
Right.
And then for us anyway, we just, at the end of the year, we copy multiples onto one, just on the sheet of paper. It just goes in their file. If we're ever questioned on the attendance, we're right here. He was absent right there, and that was the reason why he was absent.
Yeah, actually, there's a place on there that gives a reason why they were missing, too, you know. So it kind of holds the parent accountable.
That's right. I just think it's a really good thing to have a book.
Yeah. Good point. Well, it just proves there's so much more than meets the eye, you know, in all of us. I know in Rochester it's kind of spread out. We're blessed with having David Seibel there for long term. I mean, he's been there forever. So, you know, maybe we take advantage of that, and he does a lot of it. But if I was thinking, if he was to be, there was somebody that was continually turning over, that'd probably be an issue. You know, we'd probably. But just raising questions in my mind, we need to be more diligent about maybe discussing these things.